Tell me, Mangus, have your visions come back? Are you seeing anything in the eye of your mind again?
My general, you were right,
Mangus said readily, glad that he was back in favour.
I see the ghost mouse was only a trick of the earth crawlers to frighten us from here. As for the great rusty bird, it was only the imagination of scared rooks. The heat waves shimmer and dance in this country, and you could see more strange things than on a dark night in the Northlands.
Ironbeak was heartened.
Well spoken, Mangus, my strong right wing. What else do you see? Are the omens good for your general?
The omens are good. It all becomes clear as water now. Ironbeak, you and I will live a good and easy life in this redstone house. The food will be plenty, and the season's good. Winter's cold will not harm us in this place surrounded by tall woodland. When the earth crawlers get tired of playing their silly little games, we will catch them all out in the open, and that day they will be slain. Then there will be none left to oppose us. This I see truly, my general.
Ironbeak stood and stretched his wings, and Mangus ducked to avoid being knocked out of the window.
This is good, Mangus. I feel good in my feathers, too. I think I will fly up and perch a while on the roof of my big redstone house. Tell the rooks to rest well and sleep yourself. You look tired and hot.
Ironbeak launched himself from the sill and spiralled up to the abbey roof. Mangus blew a great sigh of relief and settled down to nap in the hot sun. It was the first time he had lied to Ironbeak about his visions. They were still clouded by the warrior mouse, but the crow was not going to tell Ironbeak that. What the general did not know for the moment would not harm him, and compliments were better received than kicks. When night fell over Redwall and the Mossflower country, Cornflower began buckling on her armour. However, Sister May had a better idea, so she unbuckled it and listened. Constance covered her mouth and shook with suppressed laughter when the ruse was outlined to her.
Oh, yes, let's do it. I wouldn't miss this for a midsummer feast.
The rooks perched in the dormitory, half dozing, half awake, none fully asleep, since the general had issued the order for them to have the rest of the day off. Most of them had slept all afternoon, and they found it difficult trying to sleep in the night also. It was hot and airless for birds who had lived their lives in the cold Northlands. A full moon beamed down through the dormitory window, bathing the entire room in pale bluish white light.
Leave or Abbey!
Yuck! What was that?
Death is near!
The rooks froze on their perches.
Death waits outside this room!
A black shadow cast itself across the beds and the floor. There was something at the window. The rook Ragwing turned his head slowly and fearfully until he could see the window. Framed by the broken pane with cold moonlight surrounding it was the head of the warrior, the helmet with no face. Pale grey mist hovered in place of the warrior's features. Ragwing and his companions were in a state of panic bordering on hysteria, and the words of the bodiless phantom were like some dread puzzle. Leave our abbey? How could they leave the abbey, knowing that the ghost had said, "Death waits outside this room"? There was only the window, and the horrible head was floating about there. Even the bravest rook would not venture out that way. It was more than the terrified birds could stand, so they scrabbled underneath the beds, afraid to look or move. As they stole back to Cavern Hall, Constance shook the window pole that had supported the ghostly head at Sister May.
One more giggle out of you, sister, and I'll have you put on cooking duties with Ambrose Spike,
she said menacingly. Cornflower held a kerchief to her face, pretending to blow her nose. She was, in fact, biting the material to stop herself roaring with laughter. Constance waited until they were out of earshot in the tunnel, Then she laughed.
I took a quick peek through the window, and the rooks were underneath the beds, trying to make themselves invisible.
Sister May shook her head in mock sympathy.
It's no wonder. You didn't give them much choice. Leave the abbey, but don't leave the room. Really, Constance, what made you think that one up?
I don't know. I suppose I just lost my head.
Cornflower wiped tears from her eyes, realising that the fun had turned to sorrow and longing for her family.
My Matthias and Matimeo would have appreciated a joke like that. Dear me, I can't get them out of my mind night or day. Oh, Matthias will be able to take care of himself no matter where he is. But what about my little Matimeo? I wonder what he's doing right now. I hope he's safe and well fed. I'm sorry, my friends. I'm an old wet rag these days, moping about like I don't know what.
Sister May began weeping herself.
There, there. We understand. Don't you worry. Your young one will be all right.
Constance sniffed loudly.
Of course he will.
This ends Disc 10.